The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 11th through Sunday, March 17th, 2024. The commentary for March was written by Troy Mendez, Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, a historic and vibrant downtown Phoenix congregation. He is also active on the boards of trustees at Virginia Theological Seminary and the General Theological Seminary. He is passionate about the church, offering to all people a sense of belonging and the grace of new life given to us in Jesus Christ. The commentary for Monday, March 11th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 27. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Here's the commentary. This crass remark from Jesus unnerves everyone. Some argue that Jesus was annoyed to be disturbed by the woman because he was on retreat with his disciples. Others say he was still in the process of understanding his total mission. Maybe Jesus was just tired. We might be tired too, and our communication with others might also be sharp. Our ability to text one another doesn't help. Once, I was texting a parishioner about a pastoral concern. She indicated in one text that her pet was dying. In the next text, she indicated she was going for a walk on this beautiful day. To the first message, I replied, "Oh no, that's terrible." To the second, I replied, "That sounds great. Have fun." The responses were not received in sequence, and she was very hurt by the exchange. Healing this breach of communication took real effort and a substantial amount of time. This story from Mark offers me an odd but real sense of hope. Perhaps when we encounter communication breakdowns, Jesus' predicament can show us a new way forward. Now I'll read the entire passage from Mark today. This is Mark 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee and the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." And the moving forward statement for this Monday, March 11th, extend grace when miscommunications causes pain. And now we'll turn to the commentary for Tuesday, March 12th, as we celebrate the feast day of Gregory the Great. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 2. "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat." Gregory became pope in 590 of the Common Era, about 120 years after the fall of the Western Roman Empire. During his papacy, Gregory put his faith into action and developed an expansive ministry of feeding the hungry and welcoming the needy into his home. He lived in such a way that brought dignity and respect to others. At the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, many churches sought new ways to put faith into action. In my congregation, ministry leaders created a food pantry at an elementary school because children isolating at home were going hungry. The initiative began out of deep compassion and has grown and expanded. Other churches got involved, and a new sustainable ministry continues today. Jesus and his disciples gave the crowd an abundance of food, and their story lives on. With God's help, may the stories from Jesus' followers in our own time be retold and lived out. And now I'll read the full passage of Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. "In those days when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, 'I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance.' His disciples replied, 'How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?' He asked them, 'How many loaves do you have?' They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with the disciples and went to the district of Dalmanuta." And the moving forward statement for this Tuesday is, support a local food ministry with your time and your financial gifts. Now the commentary for Wednesday, March 13th, the day that we celebrate the life of James Theodore Holly. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Consecrated in 1874 as the first Episcopal Bishop of Haiti, James Holly's life and ministry bid the Church to strive for justice and peace among all people. Even though Bishop Holly suffered substantial personal losses, he strived to recognize the Holy Spirit's gifts in every individual. My involvement in the Episcopal Church would probably never have happened if the parish I encountered had not had such a beautiful spirit of affirmation for all people. When I observed my parish relying on the Spirit to take risks in ministry, amazing things happened. The formality between the old-timers and new people diminished overnight. Newcomers saw their own potential to be a part of something beautiful. We shared a newly revealed hunger for God that began transforming our lives. Every encounter with the Holy Spirit offers us an opportunity for such a life-changing transformation. Our task is to allow ourselves to be changed. And I'm going to read from the full passage here of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. And the moving forward question for this day is, research the life and ministry of James Holly. How does his witness speak to you today? The commentary for Thursday, March 14th, begins with a passage from Psalm 73, verse 21. When my mind became embittered, I was sorely wounded in my heart. Here's the commentary. Have you ever put up a roadblock in your relationship with Jesus? Many of us encountered crises of faith as we grew from children to adults, and we found the faith of our childhood no longer served us. In some cases, church structures marginalized people, and the quest for faith left us lost, embittered, and wounded. One Easter in the mid-1990s, I remember feeling a deep pain in my heart. Everything concerning faith seemed painful and difficult. I had no idea who God wanted me to be, nor did I find joy in encountering God in prayer. My heart was hurt. I was longing for a fuller life, yet I kept reaching dead ends. I decided I needed to ask God to remove this hurt and replace it with a discerning heart. Through my efforts in prayer, I eventually began to see my purpose in the world differently than I had imagined. By acknowledging my struggle, God broke through my walls and offered me the healing and love I deserved. And now I'll read from Psalm 73. Truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pain, their bodies are sound and sleek, they are not in trouble as others are. They are not plagued like other people. Therefore pride is their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes swell out with fatness, their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice, loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against heaven, and their tongues range over the earth. Therefore the people turn and praise them, and find no fault in them. And they say, "How can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High?" Such are the wicked, always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and am punished every morning. If I had said, "I will talk on in this way," I would have been untrue to the circle of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How are they destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors? They are like a dream when one awakes. On awaking, you despise their phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was stupid and ignorant. I was like a brute beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Indeed, those who are far from you will perish. You put an end to those who are false to you. But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge to tell of all your works. And the moving forward question for this Thursday: what roadblocks have you erected in your faith? Are you ready to ask Jesus to remove the obstacles? And now let us turn to the commentary for Friday, March 15th, the day on which we celebrate the lives of Vincent de Paul and Louise de Marillac. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. "But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." Vincent de Paul had a modest upbringing, with his father selling the family's livestock so Vincent could attend seminary. Through a series of experiences, the 17th century saint moved from ministry in parishes to founding an order that specifically served the poor. He was a master at communicating the extreme needs of the rural poor to wealthy landowners. He believed that every person could participate in a very real way in the kingdom of God. The gifts Jesus brings to equip us for ministry are beyond anything we imagine. When we identify our gifts for the glory of God, we can take steps that will eventually change the world. No two people are alike. We each have unique gifts that we bring to God. I might offer my gift of music. Another person might offer their gift of strategic thinking. Still another may champion concern for God's creation as their offering. Each of us is called to tap into the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit and find God's more excellent way. And now I'll read from this full passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 through chapter 13, verse 3. "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And the moving forward question for this day is, what are your spiritual gifts? If you're unsure, take a spiritual gifts assessment. You can find them online, or you can ask your pastor or your priest. Now the commentary for Saturday, March 16th. It begins with a passage from Exodus in the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Lent's reflective season is almost over, but today's Exodus reading reminds us that even when we are not explicitly looking for God, God looks for us. In fact, even when we are running away like Moses, God shows up and reminds us the Holy One's constant presence. After 9/11, my career in aviation became increasingly stressful. I was discerning a call to the priesthood, but I felt frustrated that I couldn't sort out my vocational call. Since I could fly for free, I chose destinations far from home to escape my troubles. Every time I traveled, the presence of God called me back into my life. Thankfully, I turned aside and looked. Each new encounter also brought a spiritual gift, appreciating new friends, hearing people pray through new forms of singing, or even observing a beautiful sunrise or sunset. The actions of God continue without end, and new callings upon our hearts, accompanied by spiritual gifts, await each one of us. And now the full passage from Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, through chapter 3, verse 15. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see God, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, in these final days of Lent, set aside time to listen to God. And now as we reach the end of the program for this week and the end of this week, we turn to Sunday, March 17th, the fifth Sunday of Lent. The commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 21. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Something about Jesus made people need to see him. Stories about Jesus spread throughout Galilee, Jerusalem, and beyond the Jordan. He proclaimed a new manner of life called the kingdom of God, a new vision for the world where all are blessed, beloved, and cherished. We see glimpses of this holy realm at certain moments in our life. Every Thanksgiving Day, most people in the United States are fed with abundance. After major tragedies, the public comforts those who mourn with layers of care and support. In times of natural disasters, relief organizations rush to the aid of those who suffer. Occasionally, we encounter the kingdom of God, but like the Greeks who spoke to Philip, we still wish to see Jesus. We long for more explanation. We dream about what the world might be like if everyone experienced the kingdom of God in the here and now. The key to this quest is Jesus, so we keep looking for him. We, too, wish to see Jesus. And the moving forward question for this day, where and when do you see Jesus? Share your story with others. And that's all the time we have for Reflections Day by Day for this time. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day. Goodbye until next time.